Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from James chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in. And if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, you have not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails at one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, but without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is from Mark chapter 7, beginning at the 31st verse. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his finger into his ear and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up into heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. That's Luther's catechism explanation of the third article of the Creed. But I'm not sure how often our ears are open to hear it. But getting to that from our text today is probably not directly obvious. So let's understand the setting of our text. And from there, Jesus returned from the region of Tyre through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the region of the Decapolis. Mark's note on Jesus' path is slightly weird. If you take it literally, Jesus went to Tyre, which is around modern-day Lebanon, and then continued north to the top of Lebanon all the way through Sidon. And then he cycled back south the long way, ending up on not in Capernaum, where the rest of the Galilee ministry took place, but back into the Decapolis, the 10 cities, which were on the south far side of the Jordan River. All the translators and translations have some nervousness here, and I think, but I'm not sure that they really should. And I think they're really kind of just following the King James, which smashed together Tyre and Sidon, blowing past the route that was told. Because I've seen different estimates, but that path could have easily been a 6 to 8 month trip captured in that one verse. But the real reason that it's so shocking is that from start to finish, it's outside the boundaries of ancient Israel. It is and always has been Gentile territory. And the story that our lectionary skips, because we read it in Matthew in his year, is the story of the Syrophoenician woman begging Jesus to heal her daughter of a demon. It's a shocking story to our ears because Jesus is quite rough in his response to her. He tells her he's only been sent to Israel, adding the insult, it's not right to give the children's food to the dog. But the woman's response is the very essence of faith. Yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. The crumbs that fall from the Messiah of Israel's table in her faith are enough to cast out the demon from her daughter. She never denies that Christ is from Israel, just affirms that he will be more than enough. The bread from heaven will cover plenty, miraculously multiply. And Jesus' response to this sign of this woman is to take this extended tour of the Gentile territories. And the comparison of two stages of Jesus' ministry is telling as well. His ministry in Capernaum in Galilee started with an exorcism, moved on to healings, one of which is called out in a symbolic way, the man that was lowered through the roof. Jesus declares his sins to be forgiven first, before telling them to stand up and walk. But in that miracle, we get our first notice of rejection. Even seeing the sign, some of them present deem that Jesus was a blasphemer. Eventually, that Galilean ministry climaxes with the feeding of the 5,000. The Gentile ministry is opened with this exorcism of the woman's daughter. It has its symbolic healing with today's text. And coming up is the feeding of the 4,000. The kingdom of God is breaking in. And it's doing so in unexpected ways. It's being rejected by those who it was meant for. For those who should have known, and it's being accepted by those who were once far off. That, I think, is the symbolic nature of the healing of the deaf mute man. The man is a Gentile representative, At one time, according to the Old Testament and Paul in Romans 1, their ears were closed. They could not hear. In fact, they refused to hear the word of God. Their speech was made foolish and darkened. But now Jesus comes and says, Ephatha, be opened. This healing, a true healing for the man, also signaled something larger. The ears to hear the word of God of the Gentiles were opened, and the tongue to preach it would be loosened. Just like Jesus says, don't go tell anybody, and they go run everywhere and tell everybody. The kingdom was breaking in unexpected ways. The Spirit blows when and where it wills. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. It's at the command of the Lord that the ears are opened. Now, the question becomes, what does this mean for us today? Because we're not arguing about Jews and Gentiles. And I want to ponder three things. First, as Luther would say, the endpoint of the Holy Spirit's calling, the purpose of opening ears, is sanctification, being made holy. The Holy Spirit abides with us and empowers us and encourages us to live the life in Christ. Our justification, our calling, is pure grace, but our sanctification is partly our effort. We can cooperate with the Spirit or fight against it. We can mortify the flesh or indulge it. We can become fruitful, laden with the fruits of the Spirit, or we can be like the barren tree. We know that the axe is already at the root of the tree, but we don't know the time that it strikes. So the Christian life is a call to faithfulness. Regardless of what others are doing, regardless of what the Spirit is doing at large, He is working in you. And your call is to stand. To remain faithful, to be open, to hear and to speak the word with the ears and the tongue that are given by that Holy Spirit. The second thing I want to ponder for a second is our spiritual climate, if you will. Jesus once chastised those he was teaching for being able to look at the sky and tell you what the weather was going to be tomorrow. But they could not interpret the signs of the times. We would probably be so chastised. Now, after Pentecost, ears are never completely closed. Part of faithfulness is being willing and able to share the hope that resides within us. But ears are not easily open to the gospel at this point in time. How should or does this impact us? There might be lots of viable lessons, and I'd invite you to do some of your own digging and discernment. But for me, I think there are a couple of really clear things. First, it's a call for some introspection of the collective saltiness of the church. Have we fallen from our first love? Do we readily accept false teaching and false teachers in our midst? Are we ensnared by money, flesh, or the world? These are the questions that Jesus asks the churches in Revelation. And his call to all of them is repentance, to a hearing and applying and a living of the word in our daily lives. Paradoxically, if ears are closed, it's not because we don't have the latest and greatest communications methods. Faith and ears being open to it has always been a miracle provided by God. But the means is the body of Christ. Being willing to be different is important. We were called out of the world. We were set apart as a chosen people. My second thought here stems from that. At one point in the not too distant past, the Christian church could rely on the general culture of the West to help. The calling out in those times was a spiritualized reality to a great degree. In our current spiritual climate, if we are not intentional about standing on the Word of God, we will lose it. Nothing else will preach it or teach it. The cooperation with the Spirit in our sanctification has become harder and more important. We need to hear James. That's a little heavy. It's meant to be. But the last thing I want to remind us of is that core promise of God. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. The psalmist in Psalm 30. The God we worship is sovereign. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. But that sovereignty is most clearly seen on this cross. The greatest is the one who is and was the servant of all. And his steadfast love endures forever. He has done all things well. We might not always understand, but everything Jesus does is for the good of his bride, the church. Just like with that Gentile trip, the kingdom of God is breaking in and is doing so in unexpected ways. We might not get it yet. We might have to wait and have some patience to see things ripen. Ways that might be hard for a moment, but are eternally about his steadfast love. Be open. The kingdom of God is breaking in miraculous ways. Amen.